Welcome, welcome back to America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner Chicago Regional Office Veterans Benefits Administration. Today is August 7th, August 7th was National Purple Heart Day. Today is Saturday, August 8th, 2020. We wanted to thank all of our veterans out there who are wearing the Purple Heart and the families who are Gold Star families as well for their veteran services. Today we're going to be talking to our panelists about a topic, Winston-Salem, North Carolina Regional Office of Incarcerated Veterans Outreach Program. Our panelists today calling in are Kimberly Schillhammer, the VSCM at the Winston-Salem Regional Office, and also Hiwathia Clark, a U.S. Marine Corps veteran and military service coordinator for WSRO, Justice Involved Veteran Outreach Program. And we also have Michael Howard, the U.S. Army Staff Sergeant veteran and Public Contact Team Supervisor at the WSRO. I wanted to also, you know, Cliff Kelly, our host, is also on the line and ready to ask questions and interview our panelists as well. So the Governor Talk Radio is right there. Okay, so if someone has their radio on, please turn it off. Or that is giving us a little bit of feedback on the line. And we can hear it.
We're getting some feedback.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
Thank you.
I'm Cliff Kelly. Things here we've got Manicor. Titus Williams. As Dr. Arnold mentioned, this is so important. Yesterday was National Purple Heart Day, and that's something we all should recognize, everyone, because there's so many of us, family members and others, who, of course, some didn't make it. Many have, thank goodness.
Yeah.
But that's very important. And, of course, today, right, Doc?
Yes. You know, that Purple Heart Day is sacred for us, you know, being in the military. And we have, the panelists, Kimberly Schillhammer, and then Hiwathia Clark and Michael Howard on the line. And they are really involved with this phenomenal program. So it's the Winston-Salem, North Carolina Regional Office and Incarcerated Veterans Outreach Program. Who would like to start? Kimberly, Hiwathia, or Michael?
Hi, good afternoon. This is Kimberly.
Okay.
I wanted to just provide a brief introduction and overview of what we do here in Winston-Salem, and then take it over to Michael and Hiwathia. The Winston-Salem Regional Office has a strategic plan to provide access to VA services for incarcerated veterans or justice-involved veterans, and we have a modernization plan that we're working to ensure that we can connect with these the special population of veterans, provide them with VA services, including benefits.
We're getting some bad feedback.
If you have two devices on, be careful. Like if you have two phones or in the same room, or try to use the same phone, maybe on a speakerphone.
I took it off speaker. Is that more helpful?
Yes.
Okay.
We're still getting some feedback as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else could be causing that feedback.
Is it?
How are we now?
Yeah, maybe you can say something.
Is that a little bit better?
Yes.
Okay, great. So just to kind of kick it off, and then I'll go over to Michael, we're continuing to work with this special population of veterans. We call them justice-involved veterans, folks who are involved in the justice system in some way, so that we can help to provide them with VA services, including compensation benefits or access to veteran readiness and employment. And so we are working with a number of facilities around the state and are trying to ensure that we're connecting with veterans as they are getting out of the system and while they are in the system. So I'm going to ask Michael to jump in and talk a little bit more about the program from his perspective.
Oh, great. Great.
All right. Hey, good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
So I definitely thank you guys for inviting us to the show this afternoon. And we love to advocate on behalf of the Department of Veteran Affairs and definitely on behalf of the Winston-Salem Regional Office. From my perspective, we want to talk a little bit about our assistance and outreach to our facilities in the state of North Carolina. So currently, we during fiscal year FY18, FY19, we had approximately average about 2,200 veterans that was incarcerated in the state of North Carolina, and many of those serving between the borough prisons at the federal facilities and then some of our state facilities around the state. So we definitely want to make sure that we had lots of outreach to those facilities and to those veterans that were incarcerated. So we really work in tandem and partnership and outreach with the specifically with the federal correctional complex in Putnam, North Carolina, which is one of the larger facilities for federal inmates in the state, in the country, honestly. So we definitely make sure that we work with the leadership staff there to really ensure that the veterans that are currently incarcerated are able to be able to, you know, still receive benefits they may have, even though they may be limited. But to provide the information to them, in regards of apportionments, which would help their families during their incarceration period, to help them with situations or injuries they may have incurred while they were still on military active duty, so able to still kind of go through the service connection process with those individuals, even though they are incarcerated, to still be able to provide them with a level of outreach for them for their military service. So we've worked hand in hand with the Department of Justice in regards to those facilities, whether it was federal facilities or state facilities in the local jails. So we've reached out numerous facilities around the state of North Carolina and continue to do so on kind of a daily basis through our outreach program.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I'm going to come back to you. You may raise some really excellent points that I have a couple of questions about. But I'm going to let Hawathia Clark speak next, and then we'll come back and circle back to talk about some of the points that all you know that the both of you have raised so far, and then add and what she has to say.
Okay.
Ms. Clark.
Good evening. This is Hawatha Clark.
Hawatha Clark. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. We'd like to thank everybody for giving us the opportunity to talk about our program and the things that we're doing here in North Carolina. As Ms. Schillheimer and Mr. Howard has already gave a brief overview, I'm just going to touch on some of the stuff that I do out there, that we continue to do out there in the community, in veteran treatment courts, part of our reentry programs, and some of the community outreach activities that we do in order to raise awareness and assist the veterans when they're getting ready to transition back into society. One of the things that we're actively involved in is the Veteran Treatment Court. The Veteran Treatment Courts is for veterans, the mentors that are a part of the teams are graduates of the Veteran Treatment Court program, and they assist other veterans that are going through the program with that are struggling with alcoholism, drugs, and they're in trouble with the law, but the program allows them to get like a reduced sentence or get their sentences dropped if they complete the program successfully. Part of the reentry programs that we got going on is I work with different organizations that as veterans are transitioning back into society, the VA as a whole makes sure that we get their compensation reinstated in a timely manner so that they will be able to go into some type of housing and they are not homeless or on the street. Part of that is working with those organizations who the veterans reach out to when they're getting ready to get out and we received the documentation, assist with helping to fill out that documentation and process it in a timely and efficient manner.
Oh, fantastic.
Basically, that's one of the some of the outreach programs that we're involved in.
Oh, that's excellent. Well,
that's really great. Mm-hmm. To have the compensation reinstated, you know, Doc, that's fantastic, isn't it? Because what Mr. Clark is talking about really puts these guys, you know, everybody makes mistakes, whatever, and this way they are able to really go back and do the right thing, correct?
Right.
That is absolutely correct. Because we like to ensure that the veterans have access to the information about their benefits, the resources that's available to them, the services, all of the support groups and organizations that are available to them to assist them with their reentry process.
Yeah.
Some of those are the North. We have veteran service organizations that's willing to help out with that. We got the guidebook for veterans that have been incarcerated in North Carolina, just to name a couple.
Yeah, one thing I have to ask is, you know, because it's something that Michael said and something you said, Hiawatha, it's really, you know, looking at these veterans, what about the mental health services that are offered? Because a lot of this comes from PTSD or some things that are out of the control of the veteran themselves, if they're seeking mental health counseling or treatment. How does that play into this whole picture?
So definitely us working hand-in-hand with VHA, with the Veterans Health Administration, to provide those veterans that are incarcerated with services that may be due to, you know, maybe their behavioral issues, maybe due to their service-connected post-traumatic stress disorder or some other issue that they may have had or whatever the case may be. But while they are, you know, in these facilities, we work hand-in-hand with VHA to ensure that they get, you know, if they request, you know, compensation examinations, we work with the borough prisons to ensure those veterans are transported to facilities or facilities are allowed to come into the location in which those veterans are housed, are incarcerated, to provide them with services for mental health, for service-connected conditions, compensation services, to provide those, provide them with those needs that they have while they are serving their time.
Yeah, it sounds like you also do you get involved with the veterans' families, you know, to create stability? Because many times if they're incarcerated, you know, the family unit can fall apart or suffer, you know, greatly from their absence.
We definitely work hand-in-hand with the families as well. So part of one of the things that we've kind of had here locally to kind of we have established is we have what's like a justice-involved veteran packet. You know, we usually do our outreach several times throughout the month to these facilities, to the federal facilities, to the state facilities, to the veteran treatment courts. But these packets provide a wealth of information to the veterans, whether they're incarcerated or going through the justice system, to let them know that, you know, not only can we help them in regards of their service connected compensation, but also in relatively when it comes down to apportionment, you know, if a veteran is service connected and their service connection percentages are reduced, you know, that veteran can still get a percentage of that connection, you know, of that compensation fee to be routed directly to his family members while he is incarcerated. So we definitely, you know, continue to work with the veteran, the veteran's family, to make sure that they are aware of the benefits that they have while that veteran is incarcerated, and continue to do so through the programs with our outreach at these facilities and some of the outreaches, like Mr. Clark indicated, that we do in the community daily.
Yeah,
that's a great thing you're doing. About how many families do you serve?
On average, I mean, we don't have an average of a daily kind of a total, but we definitely, I mean, like I said, for fiscal year 19, we had, you know, approximately 2,200 veterans average that was inside of the federal prison, the state prison, and about another average of about 500 within the federal facilities. You know, so we're talking about almost 3,000 veterans, approximate, that go through the system in which we're helping these families. The other thing that we're available to the veterans, is two other resources. So, occasionally we'll send out letters we'll work with the borough prisons to send out letters to the veterans the inmates that have been identified as veterans, to give them information to let them know that, you know, they can reach out to the Department of Veteran Affairs give them contact information, give them information in regards to apportionments and service connection and things that we can do for them, as well as we have established a local justice-involved direct phone line to our regional office. This has served, you know, really, really greatly for the for that population, as, you know, veterans don't, the veterans that are incarcerated always don't have the same freedoms to utilize phone facilities and be able to reach the 1-800 numbers of the VA and be on hold for long durations of time. So we was able to establish a local phone number for them to call into for us to be able to help them. Even if we can't call them back, they can, you know, call and say what they need assistance with. And we can mail them the information, whether it's compensation forms or apportionment forms. We can mail that to them, to that, to the facility in which they're in, or mail it to their family members and help them from that perspective. So we have several means in which we communicate with the veterans in large numbers.
Wow. That's a, that sounds phenomenal.
Oh, it sure does, Doc. Yeah. I mean, they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
You know, but you were mentioning reentry programs as well. Is there a job training involved, or do you have outreach to certain employers so that they can become employed once they are, you know, released? Because some of them, I imagine, would lose their jobs if they were involved in, you know, the legal system and were incarcerated. But is there anything like that that's in place, or training or the redirection for them?
When it comes to the reentry program, there are programs that I work with that's afforded to the veterans when they come through out there. When they come back to society, there are training programs. We have relationships with Goodwill and other organizations that have training programs. They teach them resumes. They assist them with looking for jobs as soon as they come out.
Yeah.
They afford them the opportunity to go online, to give them computer training so that they can search jobs online. They, again, they help them with resumes to post on like USA Jobs and certain websites where employers that are looking to hire can hire them. They go through temporary hiring agencies and things of that nature through the reentry program. And a couple of reentry programs that we are actively involved with, the sheriff of that particular county or that particular city, they are also involved in these programs to assist. They go out, they speak with these veterans at some of the meetings, and then they have employers that are there that may be willing to hire certain skilled trades. So it's a great opportunity with the reentry program.
Oh, fantastic.
Now, what you say just makes a lot of sense, too, with the sheriff's county. We have a sheriff here in Cook County who just does a great job helping people do all kinds of things. So, you know, that makes a lot of sense. I hope a lot of folks, sheriffs in different counties, are listening to that, because that's a big assistance. We got a sheriff named Tom Dart. He is just he has done so many things for so many people on it. You know, other sheriffs could do the same thing in other counties. We've got 102 counties in Illinois.
Yeah, yeah, and we have some really good judges, Judge Hooks, you know, who
oh,
really
yes,
works with every
absolutely, Judge Hooks, that's right. Yeah. Same difference there. Yeah.
And he was a Marine Corps person, so I mentioned his name even though I was Army. Watha me like that part of it.
yeah, right.
You know, I was about to get at about a yell of simplifying oorah as soon as you said that.
Yeah, and you know, one thing, you know, are your services really localized to North Carolina, or do you see people from other, you know, from other states, or people who are, do you have a further reach than just North Carolina? And then also, you know, what types of offenses are the people usually incarcerated for? You know, what types of things are they facing? Is it mostly misdemeanors or criminal, you know, convictions? And what's the extent of the people, the population of people you're helping?
In regards to that, we work a lot hand in hand with our veteran Veterans Administration, Veterans Affairs Central Office. So we work with our outreach and engagement staff if we need to provide assistance with other jurisdictional facilities, so different regional offices. But our main outreach concentration is definitely focused within our jurisdiction of North Carolina. But we definitely, we don't necessarily hold our information to ourselves. You know, when other regional offices reach out to us about some of the outreach events in which we do, when we perform on a daily or monthly or yearly kind of a basis, you know, we definitely share that information with our other regional offices as well as our headquarters in D.C. So we definitely have a very team approach to the whole positivity and to the communication of our services in regards to our Justice Involved Veteran program. As far as some of the offenses or some of the issues that these veterans are facing, we really don't dig that deep into it as far as, you know, some of the things that they've done in their past. We just try to focus on their reentry into society and try to figure out how we as VA can help those veterans as they try to prepare for reentry and provide them with the services in which they need for their military service.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, that sounds so great. And we are so pleased to have this show because, and Dr. Arnold, I know you know this, we've got some folks who've done some things, and it's very difficult for us to find some way to help them.
Yes, yes. And this is something that sometimes gets swept under the rug because we just don't think about our veterans when they return. And especially if they get into trouble, we have so many homeless veterans on the street as well, and they may find themselves, getting involved with legal actions or law enforcement. So it's been a really fantastic thing. And we have one call-in. We have Claude. He needs information from Hawatha Clark. And Claude, you're on.
Yes. How are you? Yes, I wanted to get the information because I'm in touch with a national organization that will hire veterans, will give them an entrepreneurial opportunity, irregardless of their background. Any criminal background makes no difference. It's a great opportunity.
Great.
Oh, fantastic. So you need their contact information?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you give us your contact information?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's Claude Fields at 708-275-1832. And that email is cfields, C-F-I-E-L-D-S, 91853@gmail.com.
Okay, great.
Claude.
Thank you. So, one of the things that we want to...
Can we do the email address one more time, please?
Okay.
Sure. That's Charlie Foxtrot, Item, Echo, Lima, Delta, Sierra, 91853@gmail.com. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you my friend?
I do that perfectly.
Yes, sir.
Okay, fantastic.
That's my buddy. Yeah, that's my buddy.
Okay.
That's great.
Okay, thank you, Claude.
That's why this show is so good. We make a lot of great connections, help a lot of people, and that's... When you can do that within,
that's what veterans working together. So we were really happy. Okay, so we're at the point now. We have a very, couple of minutes to go. So what I want to do is maybe Kimberly, you can give us a little bit of a closeout. Tell us, because you've been at this organization for about 4 years now, and tell us what you've seen and what you think the future of this is. Why it's so important to have this organization that's focusing on our incarcerated veterans.
Well, we ended up getting involved in this because we had been to a bunch of events where there were some community partners that were talking to us about the need. And we really thought about the resources that we could put towards that and the ability that we have to travel around the state and to coordinate with other government or non-government entities and try to make a difference in helping these folks transition. And so that was kind of where that began. And it was really the brainchild of our director, Mark Velos, who couldn't join us today, and asked us to speak on his behalf. And He really took this seriously and asked us to put together a plan, and we took it and tried to run with it as best we can, and it's still evolving. But definitely this is a population that we want to be reaching out to and working with as much as we can.
Oh, fantastic. Any last second words from Hiawatha or from Michael? Do you want to talk about your contact information again so people know where to get contact you?
Okay, yes. If you have any questions, definitely you can reach out to me at michael.l.howard@va.gov so I can answer any questions that you may have post this call. But I would definitely say thank you all for providing a platform for us to be able to share some of the services in which we do within our jurisdiction in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. But it's definitely not a boundary line in which some things that cannot be done in other regional offices or other jurisdictions. It's definitely a unified thing that we need to do for the veterans of all locations, whether they're incarcerated or in the community. We definitely want to reach those individuals.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Kimberly Hiawatha, and also Michael for being on the show. Excellent subject. We'll have to have you back at some point. But I want the audience to stay tuned. We will return after a short commercial break, and we are America's Heroes Group proud, waiting for you to return.